Welcome to Heritage Fellowship's Sermon of the Week. We hope you're encouraged and challenged as we study the Word of God together.
Okay, I need a couple of guys who are dramatic. So I'm looking around here. Philip Cook, you're here. Come on up. Riley Wilson, you were just in Little Women. Come on up. Just come up here behind me. Yeah, come over here with Philip. So, I'm Jesus, you're not. Okay. So, Riley, you're the leper, and your one line is, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He said that was a long line. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Got it. Okay, so I'm going to start walking, and you start shouting that out.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay.
This is spontaneous if you don't realize it.
If you're willing, you will make me clean.
I'm willing. Jesus touches him, and he's clean. All there was to it. Quick, immediate healing. Now, you both are blind. They need somebody to help them. Let me see. Nathaniel, come on up. So our scripture today is two blind men. I'll tell you this. I was sitting out on the porch the other morning, and it's like, two blind men, two blind men, two blind men. I had this whole melody go through about two blind men. I won't sing all of it for you. But I had the whole thing. So Nathaniel, if you get in between them. So I have two blind men. Nathaniel is assisting them because they can't see where they're going. And so the two of you are yelling out, and you're following me. You're walking behind me. And you're crying out. And you're just saying, Lord, heal me. And it's like, I know you can heal me. Whatever you want to say, something about heal me. Okay, you ready? And you help them.
Lord, heal me.
Lord, heal me.
Help me, Lord.
Heal me, please. Help. Lord.
Lord, please heal us.
Lord, heal me.
Heal me, please. Lord. Please heal us, please. Lord.
Lord, please
Lord,
help us.
Stay right there. Now, did you notice the difference? Jesus kept walking. The leper, he yelled out. Jesus turned around, touched him, healed him. The blind men, we do not know how long they followed him from the house where he just raised the girl from the dead. And he left that house, and he is on a journey to another house. And he doesn't stop and immediately heal them. But Jesus journeys on to the house, and he gets in the house, and the two blind men come in the house. And once they're in the house, they ask him again,
Lord, heal me.
Do you believe I can?
Yes.
And they say yes. Jesus touches them, and they're healed. And now you go, leaping and jumping, and you can see, and you're on your way. Thank you, guys. So Matthew 8, healings. The leper that we just talked about. The centurion's servant. And centurion servants, he just said, my servant is dying. If you will just speak the word, you don't even have to go to the house. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus speaks the word, never even goes to the house, and the servant is healed at that moment that the word is spoken. And then he goes to the home of Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and Jesus walks in. She has a fever. Jesus walks over, lays his hand on her hand, and she is healed and gets up and begins serving them. And then the two demoniacs. Now this one's interesting. What do you have to do with us? Have you come to torment us before the time? And it's not the two demoniacs speaking. It's the demons speaking. If you are going to drive us out, then send us into the pigs. And Jesus said, go. Interesting supernatural miracle of deliverance. And then we go to Matthew 9, and we have the paralytic and his friends take him to Jesus. And Jesus says, basically, I see their faith. Maybe the faith of the friends and maybe the faith of the paralytic himself. And Jesus looks at him and says, son, your sins are forgiven. He didn't even speak a healing word. He just says, your sins are forgiven. And then he speaks the healing word and says, rise up, get up, walk. And then we have the daughter of the synagogue leader who died. And so he asked Jesus to come to his home. The daughter has died. Jesus goes. They're there mourning. They think Jesus is crazy for going into the home to minister to the daughter, but he does. The daughter gets up, and she is healed. But then on his way there, he did pause on the way there because as he's going, because it didn't matter, she's already dead. What didn't matter what time he got there. And so he pauses because a woman with the issue of blood stops, and she's been saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Now, I don't think Jesus was surprised, although it's like he acts surprised, and it's like, who touched me? Well, we know it was the woman with the issue of blood just reaching, desperate to touch the hem of his garment, and then she is healed without Jesus saying a word. And then we come to today's scripture. So healing is just such a Jesus thing. And so today's scripture, let's just look at some of the insights into Matthew 8 and Matthew 9. I like to call it the journey of healings. Jesus is just going somewhere. Going to, going fro, going in, going out. But wherever Jesus is going, there tends to be an opportunity to touch someone or to respond to someone's faith or to give a word that has a power of life in it. And so it's just the journey of life. Now, lest we take this mindset, well, what about here? Does Jesus come here and do any healing? Well, of course he does. It's like we're like the synagogue. We're the place that we gather together to worship and seek the Lord and see what he has to say to us. And so this young couple this morning, Gage came and said, listen, my son's sick. Can we pray for him? There was a father's desperation for the healing of his son and a mother's desperation, I'm sure. And so we're here to do those kinds of things. And so, but there was another time when Jesus healed, and that was when he went to Peter's house, and people heard that Jesus was in Peter's house. And so now all these people are showing up at Peter's house, bringing the sick and the diseased and those who are struggling with demonic influences. And so they're all showing up, and Jesus is now healing people who've just shown up at Peter's house. So a couple of things out of all of that. Wherever you are, don't miss what the Father is saying to you and minister what he is giving you to minister to someone else. And you're going to see from every song we sang this morning, from Shannon's word, Keith and Marion's word, you're going to see all of this together in the scriptures that I'm sharing today. And so just go and be Jesus in your journey. But at the same time, the question is anybody showing up at your house because they are attracted to the Jesus that lives there? Who's coming to your house? Who's coming because they know Jesus resides in that house? And they're coming to you. So we have to live our life in such a way that it manifests the very presence of God so that people are drawn to the presence of God wherever we are. And we have opportunities to minister that to all people. Second thing, out of Matthew 8 and 9, there's no formula. You just cannot box Jesus into some kind of formula that said this is how healing happens. It's different with everyone. Why did he, like Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. Why did he lay his hand on her hand? I think common sense, somebody's got a fever, you lay your hand on their head. That's the way I would have done it. You can't put Jesus in this box of limitations that just because he did it one way, that's how he's going to do it every time. The two blind men, they had to journey to the house where he was going before he said, "Do you believe?" And so in our journey, we have got to listen to the voice of the Father and only do what he says to do. It is so important that we live our life in that kind of journey. And so, let me put it this way. Jesus was not giving us a law about how to heal. He was not giving us a 1, 2, 3, every healing situation, this is how you respond to it. Jesus was giving us principles, the truth that one, he's a healer, and two, it's about listening to what the Father says. And so how we relate to people, how we pray for people, how we minister to people can look very different in many circumstances. I was at a couple of schools in Memphis not long ago, new schools that we had never been to. And so one of them, that we started, met everybody, the principal, and we had four teachers meeting with us. And the Lord said, pray for them. So I said, before we get about our day, let me pray for you. Well, I began to pray. The anointing fell in that place. They all are responding to the prayer. And when I get finished, the principal said to me, she said, "You have just recounted our history of 40 years in your prayer." And that ministered to that staff in a way that nothing else could minister. But it was what the Father said to do. The next day, we're in another school, and we do all our school stuff, and at the end of the day, we're meeting with the principal, and we give our evaluations and some observations, and then the Lord said, "Ask her this." And I just said, "Okay, we're through with all the school stuff right now, but I want to ask you something. You're at a really hard place. A lot of transition in your life. We're here to pray with you, to help you. There's loss in your life." And I said, "We just want to pray." And she begins to share. Her father had died just a few months ago. He was the pastor of the church. And then there were other things as well that she began to just pour out and that she had been dealing with and struggling with. It was a word that just said, "You're struggling. You're in a hard place." It wasn't a prayer. But God used that moment to bring some healing to her heart and to her life. So don't limit God in how he wants to minister life to somebody else. So all these people who were getting healed, were they looking for Jesus? Or were they looking for a healing? You might want to go back and read all of them. Some probably were just looking for a healing. I just want to be healed. And yet, in their desperation for healing, they discovered Jesus. They met the Messiah. They met the Savior. Probably others went because they wanted to be healed and never became a follower of Jesus. Probably others, we hope, became followers. Others may have on the front end, it's like, okay, this is the Messiah. I'm trusting him. And the Bible tells me, the prophetic words tell me that he came to open blind eyes. And so maybe they knew up front that Jesus was the Messiah. So in our journey, are we seeking just a healing? Or as Casey said the other day, are we seeking to be a follower of Jesus? What's the foundation of what we're after? And then there's the response of the religious leaders. I mean, Jesus upset them so many times because they had a formula. They had a way they wanted to do things. They had all their laws. They had all their legalism. They had all their tradition. And Jesus is just blowing all of it up. It's like, it's all wrong. It's not what God's after. And so the question we have to ask ourselves today, is there any residue of a tradition that doesn't line up with God's presence? Is there any residue of some legalism or some ritual or some form that I'm trying to fit God into, and it doesn't have the liberty of Christ in it? It doesn't have relationship in it. It doesn't have the presence of God in it. And we desperately have to have God's presence to live the life that he wants us to live. What did their faith have to do with their healing? Well, Jesus responded. He said, that's great faith about the centurion. I haven't seen faith like that in anybody that's a Jew. And so faith was often talked about and responded to by Jesus. The one with the issue of blood, it's like, your faith has saved you. Others, wow, your faith has met me in this moment. And so faith is a part of our journey in Christ and responding in faith to revelations of who he is. But don't limit God. Because once we somehow box God into that, well, you have to have faith to meet God. I know some people in Scripture that didn't have faith, and they met God. Talk about Paul on the road to Damascus. He wasn't looking for God. He was looking to persecute the Christians. And Jesus shows up, knocks him off his horse, blinds him. And he met the Messiah. Jesus was walking one day with his disciples and comes across a funeral procession. A widow, her son has just died, and they're doing the procession to go bury him. And Jesus happens upon this, like Jesus happened upon anything, but Jesus happened upon this procession, and he has great compassion for the widow. And he just walks over and touches the dead corpse. And the guy gets up. The guy was not asking Jesus to heal him and raise him from the dead. The widow was not asking Jesus to come heal her son. Jesus just showed up and had compassion on the situation. It was not a response of their faith in that moment. It was a response of the sovereignty of God to do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. We cannot limit God. Even in those situations that we look out there and it's like, in our mind, it's absolutely hopeless. God never looks at a situation and call it hopeless. We always have to look from His perspective. So just have faith, but know that God is beyond our faith. Our faith has got to constantly just move toward Him. So how did Jesus view people? These were two great scriptures. Jesus said to the paralytic, "Have courage, son. Your sins are forgiven." Jesus knew what that man needed to hear in that moment. And bigger than his healing was for Jesus to say to him, "Listen, I know all your mess. And you may be paralyzed, but you're a sinner." And yet, in his coming to Jesus as a sinner, Jesus looked at him and called him son. Jesus had a view of the potential that he had. And then he says about the woman with the issue of blood. And he said to her, after she touched him and he turned and saw it was her, and he said, "Have courage, daughter. Your faith has saved you." Jesus views people a lot of times very differently than we view them. How does he view you this morning? What is it in your life that it's like you just want to, "Jesus, don't look at me right now. You don't know what I've done. You don't know why I did it. I don't know why I did it. But Jesus, it's like, don't talk to me." Because you're afraid of what he's going to say. But what he's going to say is, "Son, daughter, let's fix this. Let's take care of this." He never comes to condemn us. He comes to liberate us, to free us. And the longer we hide behind our pain, our shame, our guilt, whatever it is, the longer we hide behind that, we are keeping ourselves from the healing that we need. Physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. And Jesus just wants to journey into our lives and just say, "Son, daughter, I'm here. I love you." To the paralytic, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then he says, "Rise up. Get up. You're liberated." Not just from a physical paralysis, but you're liberated into freedom and to life. Let Jesus journey into your life this morning. The two blind men. Just want to talk about the two blind men just for a moment. The two blind men were following Jesus. They had probably heard about the daughter being raised from the dead, and so they've joined a crowd of people who are following Jesus, and they're crying out for Jesus to touch them and heal them of their blindness. Sometimes you just got to cry out, "God, help me." Sometimes there has to be a desperate plea, a desperate cry in you that's so just passionate in this persistent pursuit of who Jesus is. And you're not ashamed to be crying out. You're not ashamed to come to an altar. You're not ashamed to somehow, wherever you are, and God comes to minister something to you, and you're not ashamed to let him in that moment touch you, rather than saying, Well, God, this is in a public place. That shouldn't happen here. Listen, when God wants to touch you, it doesn't matter where it is, let him touch you. And then who was assisting the two blind men in following Jesus? I would imagine somebody is helping them in their journey they can't see. Question to ask ourselves, who are we helping get to Jesus? Who are we assisting in their journey to get to Jesus? A lot of people need Jesus, which means a lot of people need us. And they need us out there in the workplaces and in the stores and the restaurants. Wherever we are, people need us to be living in the presence of God so that we have a gift to give them in bringing them and assisting them to getting to Jesus and finding their freedom. Unlike the leper, the two blind men had to wait a little bit. We don't know how long they had to walk, but they had to wait. Maybe you're in that waiting process. Maybe you're praying for something and the answer has not come. But Jesus is there, just not on our timetable. And so we have to surrender the timetable to the sovereignty of God. And Jesus responded to their pleas, "Have mercy on us." And Jesus asked the question, "Do you believe that I can heal you?" And their response was, "Yes, Lord, we believe." So another question for today, do we believe that God can meet us in the present situation we are in? Do we believe that God can heal us? Do we believe? And do we continue believing even when we're in that waiting process? Do we believe that God can meet us where we are? Whatever our circumstance, whatever our situation, do we believe? I would rather die believing that he can rather than live life believing that he couldn't. I just want to live life believing, having faith. I want to live life having hope when everything around the situation says there's no hope here. But I'd rather die with hope in my heart than die without it in my heart. Hope is a character of Christ. It is Christ in us that hopes in the most desperate situations. Do I believe that God can raise me up, rise me up out of whatever ash heap I might be in? Some of us not of our own doing. It's physical things, places we may need healing. Some of the places that we are in may be the result of our own doing. It may be our making wrong choices that do not line up with the Word of God. And so we're trying to trudge through life with the weight of our own shame and guilt and pretend everything is okay when we really need to have that passionate, that persistent pursuit of Christ in our lives. A lot of these people did have faith that led to a touch from Jesus. I don't know about Peter's mother-in-law. He just walked in the house and she had a fever and he touched her. But where are you this morning? Where are you? Right now, in life, what does it look like? Are you living in the presence of God? Are you walking in this place where you are so aware that God has pursued you and God has come after you because he loves you and he wants you more than anything else? He wants that for you because it's best for you? Or are you here this morning and the love of God is pursuing you this morning and you've been hiding from God's love? You've been distant from God. You've been at this place where the flesh is so rampant and you like it. And yet something inside you tells you, this is not good for me. And something inside of you gets desperate to rise up out of the paralysis that you're in and trying to do life from a very wrong perspective. Do you believe this morning that God can touch you? Do you believe this morning that he can meet you right where you are with all of the stuff surrounding your life? He said to the paralytic, "Rise up. Get up off the mat and walk." And there's some of you here this morning. You need to rise up out of whatever. And you need to run to Jesus. You need to rise up out of rejection, out of fear, out of worry, out of pain. You need to rise up out of abuse. You need to rise up out of your own sin issues that have taken you down a very wrong path. And Jesus is just here to say, "Son, daughter, get up. Just get up. I am here to liberate you, to free you, to set you free. For you to rise up out of the most disgusting things in your life. For you to rise up out of addictions. For you to rise up out of thoughts that just go crazy. For you to rise up out of anything that the enemy has put on you that's a false identity. You're living a life that's not even the life you're supposed to be living, but the enemy's taken advantage of so many things and circumstances and rejections and abuse in your life to create a wrong, false person. You're paralyzed in that. And Jesus is just saying, "Son, daughter, rise up." We're going to end with two songs. One song is called "Rise Up." It's not a Christian author. Well, I don't know. I haven't asked her. I don't even know her. But and I'll just leave it at that. But she has a great song. And so I'm going to reinterpret the song as though God is speaking. You're broken down, tired of living life on a merry-go-round. You can't find a fighter. But I see it in you, and so we're going to walk it out. God's saying this morning, "I see what's in you. I see the potential that's there. Get up. We're going to walk it out. We're going to move some mountains today." When the silence isn't quiet and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe, I know you are feeling like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. We're going to move some mountains. I will rise, and this is our response. I will rise up. Maybe I should add to that, I will rise up as your son. I will rise up as your daughter. I will rise up. I will rise unafraid. And I'll do it 1,000 times again. High like the waves, in spite of the ache, I will rise up. And all we need is hope. And for that we have it in each other. The other song is from Bethel, I Will Rise. In the quiet of the morning, when no one knows and no one needs to know, you speak to me, you give me strength. There's nothing like the secret place. Underground is where life begins. My heart will rejoice in the hiddenness. Beyond the burial, there's a resurrection. Your will be done in me. Some of you are there this morning. You need to come out of the hiddenness. You need to know that there's a resurrection taking place. And just declare, I'm your son, I'm your daughter, let your will be done in me. In the stillness all around, where you are working all the details out. So you don't come to Jesus and poof, you're pregnant. but you are not perfect. But you got to come to Jesus to work out the details. You got to come to him to get in the journey of growing spiritually. What's in me will grow. I trust your timing and your ways. And I will rise. I will rise. He holds the time of all things in his hand. God, through my life, be lifted high. What was the scripture that Keith shared with us? If we lift him up, if we exalt him up, and then because of that place in us that is just so exalting Jesus, then we rise out of the place that we're in because we have given him preeminence in our hearts and lives. Let Jesus rise in this place. Let Jesus rise in this place. Let Jesus rise in this place. God, through my life, be glorified. Sing it, sing it, sing it. Live it, live it, live it. That's not in the song. Just let it become life. You shout it, you sing it, you live it, you walk it. You're just in this journey with Jesus. And you're finding adventure after adventure. Let Jesus rise. Jesus rise. God, through my life, be glorified. The junior company and the senior company from Fusion Designs Dance Companies are going to minister these two songs to you. Please, just let God minister to you in these moments. And let him speak to you what you need to rise up from as you exalt him.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Please join us online at heritagefellowship.us or in person in Jefferson City, Tennessee, as we encounter God, touch lives, and impact nations.